Hello and welcome back to Scottish Football Covered. I am Stefan, joined tonight by Mac, Robbie, and Finlay. Guys, how are we all doing?
Been away for a few weeks, but looking forward to getting back into
Perfect. Yeah, we missed last week's episode, but we are here today. Finlay, how are you doing?
it. Yeah, I was sad to miss last week's as well, but excited for this one. I think a lot to talk about here, especially I would say at the bottom end of the table.
Yeah, it's all picked up, hasn't it? We've got a lot more to talk about now, and it's nice. What about yourself, Mac? How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I would say it's been a good weekend of football. I've enjoyed watching it, even south of the border, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the bread and butter, Scottish football.
Exactly. We are not here to talk about English football, even though it has been an interesting week. Forget the interesting week. We're here to talk about Scottish football's interesting week, and what an interesting week it has been. We've seen the gap widen between Celtic and Aberdeen, and we've seen the gap narrow between Rangers and Aberdeen. It's heating up at the top of the table, it's heating up at the bottom of the table, and there's a bit of a mix in between Motherwell, Ross County, Dundee United all battling it out near enough each other. Don't forget St Mirren. It's been a good week. Let's start off. Let's take a quick look at the SPFL Premiership table. Walk you through sort of what's gone on and where we're at. Celtic stay on top with their win in midweek against Aberdeen and then their win against Hibs on Saturday. Aberdeen remain in second. As mentioned, the gap between them and Celtic has widened, but the gap between them and Rangers has narrowed. It almost puts Jimmy Tulleen's men on a little bit of a precarious position. Rangers now, as I say, firing down the necks of Aberdeen. Dundee United closely behind them, followed by Motherwell. Dundee and St Mirren battling it out to get who can maybe come into the top six. And behind St Mirren, we have Ross County and St Johnstone in the race to avoid relegation. Kilmarnock, Hearts, and Hibs. 2 points in it. It's tasty. Let's start off with yesterday's game at Pittodrie. It was a 1-1 draw that saw St Johnstone pick up a point that derailed Aberdeen a little bit. Mac, what did you think of that?
Again, it's one of them. I'm not sure if I'm surprised going off current form. I don't know what's happened to Aberdeen since the semi-final defeat. They've not looked the same, had that strong start, but you wonder how their season's going to end. There's a few boos at the end of the game at Pittodrie as well, which look, you pay your money, you can take what you want, but a bit short memories. They've had a good season and you might support. But I think they'll turn that around. I think the fixtures are going to get a bit easier for them going in the next few weeks.
Yeah, a couple of boo boys at Pittodrie. Seen a couple of Aberdeen fans asking the question, saying, "Well, what do you expect? This time last year, we weren't and anywhere near the position that we're in now. You know, were we just backing Tulleen until the wheels came off? What's the sort of thought process behind booing the team when they are realistically in a really strong position still?" What about yourself, Finlay? What did you make of the booing, but also the vital point for St Johnstone?
Yeah, no, I think Mac's completely right. It is a case of short memories. They're still in second. I mean, this time last year it was a car crash season. It has been odd. I think five games without a win. I think maybe having that second game a week has kind of taken the legs out of them. They do have a good bench and they're able to rotate well. It's just something's happened, and maybe like Mac is right in saying that the Scottish Cup kind of loss had a big impact. I still think. It would be disappointing to finish outside of the top three, given the start to the season they had. But I think maybe there's a little bit of credit due to St. Johnstone, who've not really, the points don't really match the performance, but they are playing some really nice football. And I would say, maybe controversially, are punching at the moment, given kind of the state of the club and how they did last season.
Okay, what about yourself, Robbie?
Yeah, well, I thought that Aberdeen, it was a pretty poor performance, really.
I remember saying after, I think it was one of the first episodes we did, I remember saying that I wondered whether the cracks would start to show for Aberdeen. And I do feel like that's kind of, we're kind of seeing that a little bit now. Like Finlay says, you know, the extra games are proving to be quite tough for Aberdeen at the moment. I do think the Christmas period's going to be quite significant to see whether or not that they can kind of come back into some form. I did see actually a statistic that said that 70% of Aberdeen's goals this season have come in the second half, and I feel like that is starting to bite them a little bit. In terms of, they got away with one when they played Dundee FC a few weeks back, when they, I think maybe a month or so ago, I think, when they gave away a penalty early. No, sorry, late in the first half, but saved it and ended up going on to win the game. But against St Johnstone today, they concede in the first half, and it makes it a lot harder for them to then get back into the game. And I think, you know, they need to start turning up in the first half of games, otherwise it could prove costly for them.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with a couple of things there. The Christmas period is going to be so pivotal for Aberdeen, because it is really going to probably determine how the latter half of the season goes. If they are to drop any more points, Rangers already 2 points behind, but also with a game in hand, should that be the thing, the Rangers are into the driving seat for second place. And from an Aberdeen perspective, and Finlay, you touched on it, they shouldn't be finishing outside the top three. But I think when you look to the start to the season that they had, they went toe to toe with Celtic. It wasn't really until that 6-0 drubbing in the League Cup semi final that they started to fall away. And it's, you know, it's going to be an interesting period for them. A vital point for St Johnstone. You've watched St Johnstone a couple of times this season, Finlay. What do you make of their rise in performances under Simo Valakari?
I really like them as a team. They're much nicer to watch than they were under Craig Levein. I think what it was towards the beginning of his time there, they had, you know, they still have Kimpioka, Sidibe, and Nicky Clark, all fantastic in attack, kind of really putting a lot of pressure on the opposition. But the defense wasn't matching it at all. They used to concede a lot of silly goals. And I think they've got, you know, the signing of Bozo and Jack Sanders at the back has kind of solidified things to make it a very, a bit more of an attritional team. They're not as kind of loose with possession as they were, not conceding as many goals. But on top of that, we're now seeing Mackenzie Kirk kind of start to, you know, he's putting other, you know, I think he's putting Sidibe out of the team now. And I scored this week, he scored another winner. I think I've been very impressed by the way that he's been able to bring in like attacking substitutions, rotate, and still maintain that kind of consistency. It's not really translated into points. That, like I said, it's one win in six, and they are still, for all the talk of Hearts and Hibs relegation, you know, Hibs are only 2 points behind St Johnstone. I just think that they're just a nice team to watch, and I would love it if they could stay in this league.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a fair point. One win in six, put a key draw on Saturday against Aberdeen. It is really tight at the bottom. I guess I'll pose this question to you, Mac. Do you think St Johnstone could be in trouble of going down?
I've got the one of the teams that have going to be down there, but I think they're in a lot less trouble now that they made the managerial change so early in the season. I predicted them to finish 12th just because Craig Levein, he's had his days as manager, but the appointment of Valakari, don't want to echo what Finlay said, but it's just, I think it's quite inspired. They never went down the beaten path through Scottish managers. They went out there, they got a guy. Only probably Motherwell fans from that age would have remembered for his playing days. So I think he's playing inspired football, but he isn't getting the results yet behind that will come. And look, there's a lot of good teams down there, so they're going to have to work hard. But no, it all depends if the two Edinburgh teams get their act together to and control St Johnstone's safety.
Okay, let's change focus a little bit. Celtic took on Hibernian at Celtic Park in the 3-0 kickoff, in the 3 o'clock kickoff. Sorry, I was reading 3-0 and 3 o'clock at the same time there. Massive statement from Celtic from a lot of accounts that I've heard that wasn't the prettiest of games. The phrase that I heard a lot was if Hibs had a finisher, they could have given themselves a half decent chance at picking up vital points at Celtic Park. Would you agree with that assessment, Robbie?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But one thing I would say as well is that I think that that is kind of a performance of champions from Celtic. I think the best teams can go and play against teams and not play very well and still pick up the points. They still scored 3 goals here despite not playing very well against Hibs. But I do agree. Yeah, I think it kind of speaks to Hibs' main problem this year, the fact that they just don't seem to be able to score. Kukarevic, I think it was really poor yesterday, and he had a couple of chances to score himself and a couple of chances where he probably could have laid it off for an easier chance and didn't. So yeah, I think on the whole, yeah, it's a pretty good assessment that.
Finlay, what about yourself? Strong performance from Celtic. Robbie calls it a performance of champions. You know, is that Hibs' biggest problem, really? Is it they don't have someone that can finish the chances? We know Kukurevic got taken off. Is that the biggest thing for them in January?
Yeah, I think just Dwight Gayle's not really kicked on. I mean, obviously he had that injury. He's just not kicked on in the way I think Gray would have hoped. You know, Boyle's not really, he doesn't really look like the same player anymore for whatever reason. I've been impressed by kind of the players in midfield. I know Joe Newell should have, you know, really scored that chance, but maybe if they can get someone in January, I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't know, maybe this is something you guys will disagree with, but imagine you're a team in 12th. A player hears from his agent, oh, someone's in for you. Oh, who is it? Hibs, where are they? Bottom of the table. Are you really going to attract the kind of caliber of play you need when you're sat dead bottom, unless it's a loan? And first of all, does a parent club want to send a player to a club that looks like they're going to get relegated and get battered every week, mentally and physically? So maybe they do need a striker. The question is, have they left it too late, and will they be able to get one in January? Who's going to want to go there?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. What about yourself, Matt? What do you think?
I think I agree. It's going to be hard for them to get the right amount of players when they're in this dogfight, but I think their focus has got to be on a goalkeeper. I suppose yesterday, the keeper was better than we've seen before this season, but they're chopping and changing between the two, and neither of them look that good. But on the subject, the goalkeeper Celtic proved how good a signing that was getting Schmeichel. He probably his best game in a Celtic shirt, get man of the match. Probably the best signing of the summer for any team. I think what Celtic proved yesterday, which is separating them for probably for Rangers at this early start of the season, is their strength and depth. Like you saw guys like McCowan coming back in the team, and even Scales, who albeit not had a great game, but I think that's what's separating Celtic from the rest is their strength and depth to bring players in. Excuse me. And then that's just to have players who are on the point every week to produce the kind of performances. It's electric for a Celtic perspective.
Yeah, you look at Hibs goalkeepers, you know, they had Jordan Smith in goal. They changed between him and Josef Bursic. It's a hard one for Hibs. I definitely do agree with you, Finlay. Where do they get that striker from? I think that's a really valid point. Martin Boyle isn't really hitting the same heights that he had hit. We know he's been a key player for Hibs over his tenure there, leaving and then coming back, but he's just not providing what Hibs need at the moment. So it is a concern. I guess that's going to be the biggest thing for Hibs fans is this is what we need. What do we get almost? And to your point, Matt, yeah, Schmeichel, absolutely stellar signing for from Celtic, not just domestically, but even in European football. He's come up with some big, massive saves to keep Celtic in games. And, you know, yesterday when you look at the game as a whole and the chances that Hibs had, he did really well to deny them. So yeah, I guess for Hibs, they're down in the bottom of the table. They seem to get a good result and then a bad result. They beat Motherwell comprehensively the week previous, beat them 3-0, got a point with Aberdeen. It's always a hard one. We talk about them every week. We talk about David Gray. Is he on that peg? I guess that Aberdeen result, is that the turning point? Can that be the turning point? We saw it against Motherwell, but going to Celtic Park, how realistic is that? In their next coming up game, they've got Ross County. Do we give them a chance to maybe leapfrog Hearts and Kilmarnock and even St Johnstone at that point? Robbie?
Yeah, I would say that there's always a chance. I did think that Hibs did actually, especially in the first half yesterday, play quite well. Just it ultimately will come down to whether or not they can take their chances. And like you say, it's been very, very temperamental this year with that you don't know whether they are going to do it or not. So there is a chance that they could go and score three, or there's a chance that they could go play really well and miss three or four sitters and end up losing 1-0. So it's hard to say really, but I do think, judging by, say, the first half performance yesterday, they are in with a chance of picking some points up.
Okay, massive performance from Celtic ahead of their trip to Zagreb, and then looking ahead to the League Cup final at Hampden against Rangers. Let's switch gears a little bit and let's go and focus on Dundee United and Kilmarnock. At some point, it looked like Dundee United were really going to damage the hopes of Kilmarnock and send them into 11th. Hibs, not Hibs, Hearts, with their victory, were able to, for periods of the game, able to leapfrog into safety. Kilmarnock got that pivotal draw at the end. How big a result was that draw for Kilmarnock, Finlay?
Massive, massive. I mean, without it, that would have been what, five losses in their last six games, which is not great reading. I know everyone, because given last season, everyone expects them to kind of bounce back, and you always have this in your mind that, oh, that's the team that beat Rangers. That's the team that always, they give Celtic a bloody nose. They look pretty bad. I think, Carl Vassell has got one goal this season. I don't really know what's going wrong. I can, obviously, discipline-wise, they've got themselves red cards, about six times, which is quite a worrying amount. Derek McInnes, I don't think he necessarily can put his finger on what's going wrong. It's not like they've been playing two games a week. Just something's not clicking for whatever reason. And, sat in 10th, like you mentioned, they're 2 points above Hibs, who are 12th. I don't know when you start worrying, but suppose they're in the bottom two after Christmas. Is there maybe a conversation about his job safety?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. For a striker in terms of Kyle Fussell, to touch on your first point, should be bagging more goals for Kilmarnock. They've definitely not hit the heights of last season. Many predicted earlier on, even as late as October into November, that Derek McInnes could potentially take over from the dismal run that Philippe Clement's Rangers were on. That looks like quite a distant memory now, because you look at the result Kilmarnock got when they went to Ibrox. They were almost on the end of another loss against Dundee United. It is testing times for Derek McInnes, but and I'll pose this question to you, Mac. Does Derek McInnes have that good fortune and that good favour with the board at Kelly, to know that his job is probably secure?
To an extent, he probably does have some credit in the bank. It was what the Brown season last season, and it's no surprise he was getting linked to the Rangers job, given his history with them, and then the poor form they were on. But again, nobody's bigger than the club. He has to start picking up results somehow, no matter how he does it. I think yesterday, they were quite fortuitous to get a point at the end. Some would disagree. I don't think that was a penalty at the very end. But look, you've got to take any chance you get, especially when you're than that end of the table. And then Bruce Anderson, that's probably one of the best penalties I've seen. I think two goals when they saved that.
I love that little adage you had there. The whole commentator line about Tookie, I love that. That's brilliant. What about yourself, Robbie? What are you thinking?
I think, yeah, I just to really kind of to double down on what Finlay said, really, that I think Kilmarnock will be pretty happy with that result. But I think Dundee United will probably be pretty disappointed with that result. I don't think Kilmarnock played particularly well. I think Dundee probably could have put two or three more past them, and then it could have been a very we could have been having a very different conversation today. So, you know, but however, you know, that hasn't happened. They've come away with a point. It's a very important point, but I think probably Kilmarnock's performance doesn't give them too much to be hopeful about.
Yeah, big game coming up for Kelly. They take on Hearts on Sunday. I keep thinking because the League Cup final is on Sunday at 3:30. I've forgotten that there are other still there still are other games in the Scottish Premiership taking place. Hearts travel down to face Kelly on that plastic park. Two teams obviously not in the greatest of form. Hearts picking up that win, that key win. It really makes the watching of it, you know, it'll be a relegation scrap. Who and I know we're not doing previews for this just now, but who do we see coming out of that one, Finlay?
Well, this is one of those where I come to the end of this podcast and I go, Hearts are playing so well. Shankland scored. I mean, I know we'll get to that. Kilmarnock are rubbish. I'd give Hearts a good chance of winning it. Come next week, Kilmarnock win 3-0. And then all of a sudden, table looks very different. And I look like an idiot. And I just have a sneaking suspicion that Kilmarnock could just, they just offer something that Hearts haven't really faced. It's that kind of grit. And even though Sunderland is scoring, I just I'm using kind of my mystic powers. I think Kilmarnock come away with a win here.
I'll pose the question to you, Mac. What about yourself?
I agree, but Lauren, I know Lauren Shankland just got two goals, but it comes at the wrong time because they get booked, and then he and he's picked up too many yellow cards, so he's suspended. Just at the perfect time, he's not scored in ages, and then when he finally finds his feet, he misses the next game, and it's a quite an important game. I think Hearts obviously they're playing on Thursday night as well against Copenhagen, so that's I think they're happy to travel there and then travel onto that to the air on that plastic park. I think if anybody's going to sneak out, it's going to be narrow. I think it might just be Kilmarnock, but again, like Finlay said, Thursday predicting a Kilmarnock win means Hearts are going to win 3-0. That's how it works.
The Hugh Keevans curse. Robbie, what about yourself?
I'm going to go the opposite side and I'm going to say that Hearts are going to win, I think. You know, even though they might be missing Shankland, they've had to deal with Shankland not scoring goals for 12 games of this season. You know, I know that obviously they've not played very well without it, without his goals, but I thought they did play quite well against Dundee, so I'll back them to win.
All right, perfect. Let's look ahead and we'll go to, or look ahead, let's look back at Hearts versus Dundee. You mentioned Shankland got booked, but he did score two pivotal goals. Massive result for Hearts, Robbie.
Yeah, it is a massive result for Hearts. It's a very needed result for Hearts, and it's a very needed performance from Lawrence Shankland, I think. I think it kind of shows that statement that, you know, there's been a lot of kind of discourse around him this season about whether or not he's lost it or whatever, but I really don't think that that is the case. You know, he is still only 29 for most footballers, you know, especially a striker. Like Shankland, he's still in his prime years, really. So I think it's a statement that's just kind of saying that I've not lost my ability. I've just had a bit of a tough time in front of goal this season. So yeah, I think it was a really important game for those reasons.
Finlay, yourself, massive win for Hearts. Dundee, they're looking. They seem to be hot and cold. They seem to have good results. Then it's a bad result. They're still in the top six. Their next game, they go away to Rangers on the 21st of December. after that Hearts game. How good a result was it for Hearts, but how much at a wrong time has that come for Dundee?
Well, I'll focus on Dundee because I think, both Mac and Robbie have said some good stuff about Hearts. Dundee, I'm actually not that worried. I know Tony Docherty got a lot of kind of stick for this, how flat the team looked, and that's true. That's absolutely true. They did win against Motherwell midweek, and they are sat in sixth. Like, I don't want to put them down as a kind of club, but sixth is a good position for them. They're sitting above both Edinburgh sides, Kilmarnock, St Johnstone and Ross County, St Mirren, who always seem to find a way to make it to the top six. Every year, they bring in loan players and then lose them. So they have to kind of trust young players, rebuild a new squad. And I think they're doing fine. Of course, in a month's time, it could be a very different story. But because of how tight it is between most of these teams in the league, I don't think one loss is something to worry about. And even though the performance was less than inspiring, I would say, if I was being polite.
Okay. Mac, do you disagree with what Finlay said there? What are you thinking?
No, I think Finlay's quite right. There's no shame in going to Tynecastle and losing. Seen better teams go there and lose by more. But then it's just it's they're such an anomaly, Dundee. I think they've got third most goals in the league. Joint with Rangers, yeah, they've still got a negative goal difference, so no shortage of goals if you're a Dundee fan, but most of them seem to be going on the other net. Top six over last year, I think they've got to build on that. I think they're building somewhat of a squad. I think Tony Docherty knows his best 11. That's an important thing, I think, for teams at that level. And then looking at their next games, I don't think it'll derail them, not at all.
Okay, perfect.
Well, can I ask something here to all of
Go
you
for it.
quickly? Do you think John McCracken has a future at the club?
If I can jump in for that one. Probably a future at Dundee, but I don't know. I meant to say that actually. You reminded me. We were talking about Scottish goalkeepers a couple of weeks ago. He's definitely not going to be in the conversation. He's just he's a bit calamitous. A bit like Bursa Hibs. Excuse me. Dundee, I don't know if they'll be looking to replace him, but for what I've watched of Dundee, he's made a lot of mistakes. He should have probably done better for Shankland's first goal, and then almost conceded it a comical, not an own goal, but it was an open goal. And then, but also VAR rightly intervened. And then, what was it? He went out to punch a ball at Tynecastle, and he just completely missed it. So, I don't know what's going on with him. Obviously, Steve Clarke sees something in him, Tony Docherty must see something in him, but I don't see it in him.
I think he's definitely got a future at Dundee. He's played 13 matches. The only worrying prospect of this is he has had no clean sheets in his time. You look at Trevor Carson, he's played one game this season, or he's played three games this season rather, and he's already had one clean sheet. He's 24. Goalkeepers play longer than most footballers do. I do agree with Mac. I don't think he's necessarily going to be in the Scotland picture, or should be in the Scotland picture, but I definitely still think there's time in there for him to still develop and become a solid goalkeeper. But yeah, I do think he's still got a future there. I don't know who else Dundee could possibly call on. Maybe Trevor Carson, as I said, but ever since his time at Motherwell and being out with illness, he's not really been the Trevor Carson of old. So yeah, I don't know.
No, I think that's fair. It was only because, you look through the league and you think like how important a good goalkeeper is. Without Craig Gordon, Hearts are doing a lot worse. Hibs could be doing a lot better. Bursic was kind of improving. Last season, I reckon Mitov was the only reason St Johnstone stayed in that league. And, Mac pointed out the amount of goals that Dundee score, but the amount that they've shipped, they could maybe doing a bit better and closing in on Dundee United, who have Jack Walton, if they could find themselves someone with a little bit more confidence. That's not to say John McCracken's a bad keeper, but I just think he's, you know, his confidence is shot.
Yeah, no, I mean that's fair. It's always hard for a footballer when you're playing like that and you've had that confidence, and or you've not had that confidence that you're maybe used to having. It'll be an interesting one for sure, but I don't think he's in any danger of losing the gloves at the moment. Let's move gears quickly to St Mirren versus Motherwell. Not really much talking points in that. There was a red card towards the end. Lennon Miller whipped in a free kick, and Tony Watt put it in the back of the net. A lot of discussions around Motherwell lately. You know, we've spoken in depth about Lennon Miller. You look at that performance against Dundee during the week. Quick fun fact for you, by the way. Don't know if anybody knows this, but Dundee during that game scored 4 goals and played 8 goal songs. 2 songs for every goal. If you're social media, someone got really upset at that, but naming no names. Massive 3 points for Motherwell keeps them quite close in terms of the table, keeps them in a relatively tight spot, knuckled in beside Dundee United and Dundee. I said knuckled in, I meant sandwiched in between them, but you get what I mean. So a good 3 points for them. Finlay, did Motherwell deserve to win the game, do you think?
I don't know if anyone really deserved to win it, to be honest. I'm very pleased personally for Tony Watt because I think he's one of the game's more interesting characters, and I like players who are outspoken and happy to get involved with media work. I think he's just kind of a nice enough guy. But that game was, I would say, difficult to watch. I think more than Motherwell being pleased that they won it, it'll definitely be a case of St Mirren regretting not at least getting a point here. That could definitely have been avoided. Gogic, getting himself sent off very unnecessarily. I don't know, they didn't need to do that, and it's cost them. Motherwell desperately needed that.
It's funny because you look at Alex Gogic a couple of weeks ago against, can't remember who St Mirren were playing. I think it may have been Aberdeen actually. And I think he was he close to be, or he was sent off and then VAR overturned it. Was it Gogic? I'm sure it was Gogic. I
Oh,
might be
you
wrong.
mean the two-footed tackle when he got the ball cleanly? Was that against
Yeah.
Aberdeen?
It was against Aberdeen, but I can't remember if
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was
yeah.
Gogic.
No, I think it was. I think he went in. It looked like he'd taken, I think it was Shaden Morris out or someone, but he'd actually just got the ball quite cleanly, but with
Yeah,
2 feet.
you know, he wasn't fortunate then, you know, it went for him, but you know, as a player in recent years, you wouldn't say he's makes rash challenges, but being on a booking, it was such an unnecessary challenge. It really cost St Mirren. Mac, what about yourself? What did you think?
It's a big win. Big win for Motherwell. A lot of people started to question them. And that all you had was how poor the form has been. So, big win. Especially, we spoke, I think it was not last week, it was another month, 2 weeks ago, how hard that is for teams visiting St Mirren. So, to get there, probably a 90th minute winner, there's no better way to do it. What I will say is, though, the free kick, I'm sure, they've stole it 10 yards, like closer to the goal, before they delivered it in. So, they've got away with one there. But as I say, it's going to take what you can get.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if that's one VAR can look at and be like, what's going on there? But I mean, Motherwell fans are going to take it. Stuart Kettlewell will take it, and the players will take it. No one's complaining unless you're on the St Mirren side of that fence. Robbie, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think a draw probably would have been a fairer result. It was a not a very exciting game to watch. I think both teams hit the woodwork once. But yeah, obviously it comes down to a big moment, doesn't it? Where there's a moment of madness, I suppose. And it ends up costing St Mirren. So yeah, I think they'll be really disappointed with that.
All right. Let's look ahead to or look back at the final game of the card at the weekend. It was Ross County versus Rangers. The last time Rangers were at Ross County, they dropped points, dropped a 3-2 defeat, which ultimately curtailed any chance of them taking any more of a title charge at the defending champions last season. Statement win in midweek against Kilmarnock, after a statement win against Nice the previous week in Europe, and another massive win ahead of a massive tie against Tottenham at Ibrox on Thursday night and ahead of the League Cup final. How impressed were you with Rangers' performance, Matt?
It's much better than what we've seen for them for most of this season. I think so they just start. Clemence mentioned a lot about how he needs his signings to gel. Igemani he's one that's starting to gel. He's been a breath of fresh air in that Rangers team. If it's coming at a good time. December is always make or break a lot of time, especially with Rangers. Usually collapse after at this stage of the season. So big for them, big for Rangers fans, and then as you say, they've got a big double header coming this week, so they need all the good form going into that.
Finley, what about yourself?
No, I think Max right. Akerman, you know, that's 4 goals in 4 for him. It's coming into this period where you have a lot of games and you need to rotate him, and now Danilo scoring again is going to be so important. But I think Akerman, when he came in, it was a new signing, and I think he needed time to gel. I don't think anyone was criticizing him early on, or at least they shouldn't have been, because, you know, coming to Scotland from another league, another country, can be quite a difficult thing. But he looks good. He looks like a good player. He looks confident. I think Czerny didn't have his best game, but still, when you see him on the ball, looks technically like one of the best players in the league, which is a good sign. I never really worried, you know, on Rangers' behalf, I never really thought that it was going to be like a 2-2 or they were going to struggle to defend. Ross County scored 12 goals this season, which is kind of a shocking return. But it was a case of, were they going to be able to score, you know, or sneak a 1-0 win? And I think that 3-0 was, you know, a pretty impressive result, actually, all things considered.
Robbie, what about yourself? Statement from Rangers made. How big is that for them going forward and into the next 2 games?
It is really big, yeah. The one thing I would say though is, you know, with all respect, due respect to Ross County, I did think the Rangers, a lot of the times they did kind of look like there maybe wasn't something right. They were kind of, although they obviously, you know, it was a brilliant result. There was a good few times when players that you were, you know, like Tavernier, that you would expect kind of to not make mistakes, were giving the ball away stupidly in midfield, and it happened quite a few times. And I just think, you know, like I say, with all due respect to Ross County, and maybe some of the bigger games for Rangers, the Celtics, the Aberdeens, you know, if they do that, it could come back to bite them. But that being said, you know, it is now 4 wins on the bounce for Rangers. A massive game against Spurs on Thursday. Yeah, they've definitely got a lot to be positive about now, I think.
Okay. Ross County, I think we've spoken about the table at length here. They're not in the worst position, but they're not in the best position. If we take a look at the table, they're 1 point ahead of St Johnstone. They're 3 points off of 11th and 4 points off of 12th. They're not out of the danger zone quite yet, and they're not anywhere near where they need to be for top six. They're in that middle ground. Getting points against Celtic and Rangers is always the toughest ask. How do we see the next couple of weeks going for them? Because if we take a look at the matches that they've got coming up, they've got Hibs away, St Mirren at home, and Dundee away. Big games, Finlay.
Yeah, definitely. I know you said they're not in the danger zone, but you know, a couple of bad results and they could be right at the bottom. They're only 3 points above Hibs. I just worry that they rely too much on Jordan White and Ronan Hale for goals. I don't really think they have that threat coming from anywhere else. And I think, see if one of them or both of them have a bad game, that's it over. No one else is really going to score. Whereas other teams in the league have at least got contributors kind of from other positions. I just don't think Ross County have that. And as the fixture list starts to build up, I think that's going to be. That's why I think they're going to come off worse in this winter kind of period, is because of that lack of diversity in attack. So I would worry for them in the coming weeks. I know things have gone better than expected, but I would worry.
Okay, that is our wrap up of Scottish football this week. Let's take a couple of minutes. I'm just going to ask each of you for your predictions. Celtic travel to Zagreb on Tuesday to face Dinamo Zagreb. Quick fire results. Start with yourself, Robbie. What are you thinking?
I think that Zagreb are a tough place to go away from home. They've got quite an intimidating crowd. I do think that Zagreb are probably going to come out with this one. I'm going to say 2-1 to Zagreb.
Finlay?
I'm going to go 2-1 Celtic.
Oh, Mac.
I also think 2-1 Celtic.
Okay. Hearts take on Copenhagen take on Hearts in the early kickoff in the UEFA Europa Conference League. Who's coming out of this one? Start with yourself, Mac.
Kilmarnock had a good performance away at Copenhagen, but I've not actually kicked up at Copenhagen for the rest of the season since. But I think it's a tough place to go to in a proper competition if you want to take themselves seriously. They've got to win games like this, so I'll go 2-0 Copenhagen.
Go yourself, Robbie. What are you thinking?
I'm going to say 2-0 Copenhagen as well. I think Hearts weren't good enough against Bruges last time, and I think Copenhagen. You're on a much stronger side, so I can't see them picking any points up away.
Finlay, what about yourself?
For the sake of variety, I'm going to go 2-2 surprise result. Hearts get a point and then go and get thumped at Kilmarnock.
Okay. Final one. Archie's not here with us tonight. We know he's a Tottenham fan. I would like to still hear his opinion on it, but he's not with us tonight, sadly. Mac, Rangers Tottenham, Ange's return to Ibrox. What are you thinking?
Well, look, if there's ever an attempt to play Tottenham and no attempt to play Rangers, it's probably there now. But I like to think Ange's got one of Ibrox in him, so I'm gonna say 2-0 with Tottenham. But it could be 2-0 with Rangers, it could, by the way.
Finlay.
I'm gonna go 1-1. I think what an atmosphere that's gonna be. I think I'd be surprised if any commentators can hear themselves over the booing, but I think a point would be a good result for Rangers.
And finally, Robbie.
I'm going to go with a surprise result. I'm going to go 2-1 Rangers. I think Tottenham aren't really in a great place at the moment. They've got a tendency for conceding daft goals. Romero, I think, just got injured as well today. And I think Ibrox is a tough place to go on a European night. So I think Rangers might just edge it.
Archie's not going to be happy with you, Robbie. Perfect. That wraps up all the action within Scottish football for the week ahead coming, but also the past week in Scottish football. So what we're going to do now is we're going to move on to our quiz. Mac, you're the defending champion. I think it's only right you stay on until someone takes your crown. Finlay was the person you took on last week. Or last time, let's shift that up. Robbie, how are you feeling? Do you think you want to take Max Crown from him?
I want to. Yes, will I? Probably not, but we'll give it a good go.
Well, we're gonna give it a go. I will pop. Do you know what? We'll start with yourself, Mac. I'm gonna pop you out for a second. We're gonna get this started. All right, I am going to get your 30 seconds on the clock. You're going to answer as many questions as you can within the 30 seconds. If you pass, we'll move to the next one, but we won't be coming back to it. All happy with that?
Yep, all good.
All right, perfect. In three, 2 1 Who opened the scoring in the last Old Firm match at Hampden?
Kyogo.
Which Scottish club did George Best play for?
Rangers.
Name the last player that left Rangers for Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh God, pass. I'll have to pass on that kind of thing.
And which club connects Tony Watt, Gary Mackay-Steven, and Stuart Armstrong?
Kilmarnock.
All right, let's get Mike back in here and we will get going. All right, perfect. Let's get 30 seconds on the clock for yourself and we will start now. Who opened the scoring in the last Old Firm match at Hampden?
Able.
Which Scottish side did George Best play for?
Hibs.
Name the last player that left Rangers for Tottenham Hotspur.
Alan Hunt.
Which club connects Tony Watt, Gary Mackay-Steven and Stuart Armstrong?
Dundee United.
At which stadium do Celtic play on Tuesday night?
Ooh, I don't know if that's.
In which position do Hearts sit in the UEFA Europa Conference League?
I think.
And then when did the SPL and the SPFL, sorry, when did the SPL and the SFL merge? In what year?
2013.
All right, and we're done. How do you think you did, Mac?
I think I've done all right. I had to. There's a few guesses. You see the Tony Watt one? Was that a double answer? The United and Celtic?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Right.
What about yourself, Robbie? How do you think you did?
I think Mac might have said the same answer as me for one, so I'm happy with that if it's right.
All right, let's go through them. Who opened the scoring in the last Old Firm match at Hampden? It was, of course, Adam Ida. Which Scottish side did George Best play for? It was Hibs. Name the last player that left Rangers for Tottenham Hotspur. It was Alan Hutton. Which club connects Tony Watt, Gary Mackay-Steven, and Stuart Armstrong? It is a doubler. It was Dundee United or Celtic. And which stadium do Celtic play on Tuesday night? It's the Stadion Maskemir in Zagreb. In which position do Hearts sit in the UEFA Europa Conference League? What was your answer for that, Mac?
Yeah, I just guessed 13th.
It was 17th. And when did the SPL and SFL merge? It was 2013. I'll go. We have our winner, Mac. It was yourself. It was a 1-2-3-4-0 win. You keep that crown for.
Nobody seems to be taking off me, Stefan. We'll have to make a quiz and you can take part next time.
I know. I actually, do you know what? I throw the gauntlet down. I'm happy for someone on next week's show. If someone wants to make a quiz on Scottish football, I'll come at the king. I'll take the crown.
I'm gonna make it feel like a cheese grater, like
Yeah.
after what we've been through. I'll do you one. I'll do you one.
All right, sweet. Perfect. I'll set the parameters, of course, but yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. I'm more than happy to do
I hope you
it.
like your junior football.
I do now. Anyway, listen, thank you very much for listening. As always, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I don't know why you'd be listening to this week. Well, technically, we never had last week's episode, but if you haven't listened to the previous episode, go back and listen to it. We are available on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, and really anywhere else you get your podcasts from. I've been Stefan. We've had Finlay, Robbie, and Mac, and we will be back next week from 4 p.m. on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts from.